Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is me, Jonathan Alexander, and I'm here to host our show, Life, Laughter, Happiness. Today, I have my co-host, Barbara, here with me. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I am. Hi, Johnny.
Hey.
Hi, everybody. Hi. What's going on today? Now, who do we have?
Our guest is Jackie Blue, and she's a hypnotherapist and a documentary filmmaker. Are you there, Jackie?
I am. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hi,
Jackie. You are welcome. Wow, what a great surprise. I love that, Johnny. You have a special touch. You get great, phenomenal, extraordinary people to come on the show all the time, and I get pleasantly surprised. So, okay, let's start then. How do you want to start, Johnny? Do you want Jackie to tell us what she does?
Why don't you start? Yeah, why don't you do that, Jackie? Why don't you start?
Okay. Where do you want? How do you want me to start?
Well, you do a lot of film things.
Which one do you want to start telling us about?
Well, I make documentaries and I do hypnotherapy and I also do coaching. I found that some clients prefer coaching to hypnotherapy, and some are the other way, and some want a mix of both. So
that's interesting.
All of it. I guess hypnosis can be a little intimidating for some people, and they feel like, I guess Hollywood has kind of tainted the idea of hypnotherapy or hypnosis. And so a lot of people think that they're not going to be in control of their mind. And it's actually
we're worried. What's gonna come out?
And
you know, especially
you
on
know,
air.
Come on, of course we're worried.
No turning back.
People think they're gonna quack or bark or act like an animal or act ridiculous. Only if you want to. You know, if that's the idea that's in your head and you want to start quacking like a duck, then okay. But but really, what it does is. Hypnotherapy actually, or hypnosis, really just, we go into hypnosis all throughout the day, every day. Like whenever, if you're a writer and you go into that place, the zone, and you're just zoned in on what you're doing, or if you're a musician and you just get lost in making your music, those are states of natural hypnosis. So, you know, and when you're driving and your mind is on autopilot, and you get from point A to point B and you don't even really remember the drive, that's called highway hypnosis. So we go in and out of hypnosis all day, every day, naturally. It's a natural state. But what a hypnotherapist does is we'll take you into that state. If you have a specific issue that you want to work on, some people like to use hypnosis to help quit smoking or for anxiety. And so what it does is it helps us put the critical factor to sleep. We all have the critical factor is like the bouncer in our brain. And so when we bypass that critical factor, we can really get to the subconscious. And that's really what hypnotherapy is about. It's about rewiring the pattern in our subconscious.
And it works. And I know for a fact,
You
know, I didn't even think about this. I knew you were an expert in this field. But when you said that about smoking, it does work because my uncle, he was a tavern guy. When he retired, he was always at the tavern having beer every night, and hand in hand, the cigarette just went with it. So, but he went and got hypnotized, and he never smoked again.
Yeah, says it works wonders. The only trick to that is a person has to want to quit smoking. If they're doing it because their loved one wants them to, but they don't really want to, then it's probably going to be rejected by the subconscious. That's pretty much with everything. You have to want it on a conscious level and a subconscious level. And you know, that's also the funny thing about, you know, the law of attraction and it, the law of assumption, law of attraction, manifestation, all of that also has to do with the subconscious. When I've studied those laws, the law of assumption, the law of attraction, and manifestation, the one thing that I noticed that they all have in common is it all talks about reprogramming the subconscious mind, impressing the subconscious mind. So really, the subconscious is so powerful that I named my coaching and hypnotherapy practice Mind Magic, because I believe that it all, you know, I believe in magic, but I believe it all happens in the mind first. And the mind is so powerful,
funny.
And people don't really realize that.
Jackie, I don't want to interrupt you, but it's so funny because earlier I almost said, you know, hey, hypnotherapy isn't magic. You have to want it. That's the one factor.
You
have to want it. It's not magic. But then and that's so funny because you're saying, I call it this. Kind of is magic, isn't it?
Well, it is when you look at it from the perspective that I look at it from, because, you know, I've had clients who come to me and there was one client that I had who was in a really bad spot when they came to me, and they really wanted to change their career path that they were on. And they specifically told me what they wanted to do. They wanted to be teaching classes, doing workshops. They wanted to have X, Y, and Z. And within 6 months of us working together, this person was doing all of those things. And I just sat back and was like, wow, you know, when you came to me, this is what you said you wanted to do. And now look at you. You are doing all of it.
Wow. That is wonderful.
People really have
to
be motivated, but... But it does work. And sometimes people need, you know, that coach or that therapist or that little cheerleader to help them get to that point. But, you know, and I'm somebody who gets things done. I'm not a talker. I'm a doer. So
but this is also interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh,
I was
just going to
say, when people come to me and, sorry, I think there might be a delay.
No.
Okay. No, go ahead.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I never forget I'm going to say, so go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, when people come to me and they have things that they want to do, I'm all about, let's get it done. Let's do it. Let's find the path to least resistance, and let's get it done. Let's find out how we're going to make this happen.
But that's so weird again, because I was just going to say, when we were going back and forth there, I was going to say, doesn't it make it a lot easier when the person knows what they want? They just don't know how to really execute it. And so kind of, you know, that's the first step, right? Knowing what you want.
Oh, absolutely.
Or do people come to you not knowing anything? Like, I'm dead in the water. I feel so empty. I don't know where to go, and I can do so much, but I don't know what to do. And so I bet that is very challenging when they come to you with not knowing what they want to do.
I have had a couple clients like that. And what I like to do in that situation is we go on a therapeutic imagery journey with hypnosis. Mm-hmm. So I'll guide them. It's like a guided meditation, but it goes deeper. And I like sorry, go ahead.
Well, what I was going to say is I have actually been to a professional hypnotist myself, and it was interesting because of some of the stories that you hear. What's also interesting is how some of the things manifest themselves, and then you get inside and then you realize that there is something there. He told me that, you know, sometimes like a person can have a regressed memory. I mean, have you ever dealt with those situations, like where somebody has a regressed memory and they can't remember it, and then you help them hypnotize and get it out? Have you ever done that?
I have not done a lot of those. I've done a couple recently when it comes to trauma, where things just started to kind of come out. Because hypnotherapy does also work with trauma. And and PTSD and different things like that. Now, I want to be careful to say that when it comes to PTSD, I think there are different types. I don't believe that PTSD is a lifelong curse. Like, I was in an abusive marriage, and I had PTSD from when my ex-husband tried to kill me, and I used hypnotherapy to help me get over that part of my life is over. I don't need to react. I don't need to respond. I don't need to have that emotional charge there anymore. So I don't get triggered, and I don't have PTSD related to that anymore. But when it comes to PTSD related to our military and soldiers and what they see in war, that is a completely different type of PTSD, and I don't necessarily know that hypnotherapy would work on that. But when it comes to abuse and childhood traumas and things of that nature, I have absolutely seen it work wonders.
Well, why wouldn't it work? I mean, if it works with that, why wouldn't it work? I mean, I think it's worth a try, at least. I mean, that's a pretty hard road as a person who has seen that kind of combat to come back. And they would love to get cured, probably. So why not try?
I'm not saying it wouldn't work. I just don't know. My stepdad is a Vietnam veteran, so I grew up in a house where, you know, he would have these flashbacks, and all of a sudden he's back in Vietnam, and, you know, he would just kind of like black out, like, and he's just there in that place. And it can be a little scary. So I feel like if they're going to use hypnotherapy, there are some psychologists and psychiatrists who are trained in hypnosis, someone who's military, they might want to be with an actual psychologist, someone with a PhD to help them through that. But I absolutely believe that it works for traumas for sure.
Oh, yeah, I think it's great. So where can people find you if they would like to get this done? And oh, do you do that over the phone? That's something that is so interesting to me. If you could, you know, fix somebody over the phone, that would be amazing.
I've started doing all of my sessions on Zoom actually before the pandemic, and it was funny because I was using Zoom. A lot of my colleagues and I were using Zoom or Skype, but I guess Zoom became more popular. And in the beginning, I remember people always asking me, what is Zoom? And do I have to download it? And now, because of, you know, ever since 2020, everyone knows what Zoom is now. So I,
yeah, that helps.
I do a lot of
that.
Yeah. It makes it easier for me where I don't have to rent office space. I can set up my little home office in my bedroom and work from home, which is more convenient as a mom. So I do everything on Zoom rather than in person, and especially right now with, you know, the way everything is going, it feels like we're back in 2020.
Yeah, I'm glad you can do it on Zoom. I'm glad that you have that available to you, but do you have to see the people? Why do you need to see the people? Can you just do it over the phone?
I probably could. I just haven't. I haven't tried over the phone. I've always done it through Zoom. I like the face-to-face interactions. That's just me. It's a personal preference. But if somebody wanted to do it over the phone, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
Would you really know if they were being hypnotized, going under your spell or not, if you didn't see them? Could they fake it?
I don't know. You know, that's interesting. That's part of why I like being able to watch on Zoom, because I can also see their breathing patterns. I can tell how deep someone's going and if I need to take them deeper or if they're already pretty deep.
I'd rather
that's
do
one
it.
Of the elements
with
you, Zoom.
I would rather see them too. It's just another level of more an intimate care. But I was just curious. So that
yeah,
might be kind of cool
I'm sure,
to be able to do that, though. I mean,
I'm sure
do
I have colleagues that do it on the phone. I'm pretty sure I know some people who do hypnotherapy over the phone. I just haven't done it that way yet.
Because Johnny, he was saying like a year ago, wanting to get a hypnotherapist on the show and then have me go under while we're on the show. And I was like what you mentioned earlier, afraid of it, because what if I'm under and I don't even care about acting like an animal or weird, but what if I tell one of my biggest secrets on air live?
Yeah. Yeah. I have seen, we had one time, there was a lady that, a guy that came to our school and he hypnotized everybody. And, you know, and he had them all doing all sorts of other things. And one of the things he did was he hypnotized them to believe that they had just won, I think, $700 or something, you know, some amount of money. And they asked everybody what they would do with that money. And, well, you know, they got to her and this one girl, and she says, well, this is, well, what would you do? She goes, I would get a sack. And everybody in the audience, and I didn't understand what she meant, you know, sack, what's a sack? Everybody knew what it meant. But then I went to the person next to me. She goes, what did you mean by sack? And the lady, this girl whispered back to me, marijuana. She basically said under hypnosis that she would get $700 worth of marijuana. And it's...
Oh, I thought she was getting a sack to carry the money away. Okay,
yeah, that's what I thought too.
Dang. That's ridiculous, though. Okay, but was she embarrassed?
Wow. Yes. Well, I mean, it slipped out. But see, the thing is that it's like what you said about, you know, if we removed your inhibitions enough. See, you, right now, like Barbara is a professional. So, you know, she's always really careful by what she says and what she, I mean, she thinks everything through. It's, I mean, she's honest. There's no question about that. But, I mean, she will think through everything she says on the air. If we put her under those walls that are for protection might go down, if that makes any sense. And
yeah, what absolutely. She would like, say to that?
Say to the air that, you know,
yeah.
She would rather not be set, you know.
Would you understand that, Jackie, or would you just say, hey, no, that doesn't usually happen. People don't usually divulge their deepest, darkest secrets. Just let's do it and fix your whatever ailment, like, you know, thing. If you smoke, if you have a fear of vending machines, anything like that. What would you
say? Yeah, well, because, you know, the way that hypnotherapy works is you really are, if we're going for, let's say, you know, fear of vending machines, we'll just use that as an example. And we're going to, okay, let's find the root of where this fear began. You're not, if you're deep in a state of hypnosis, you're not going to be consciously aware of the fact that other people might be listening. And, you know, you might tell this story of, you know, this horror story when you were 5 years old and your arm got stuck trying to reach a piece of candy or something. And, you know, you're not consciously aware of who's listening. So you don't really know come out of a person during hypnosis. I don't do it for gimmicks. I've never done it on stage. I've never done it where there is an audience. I do one-on-one clinical hypnotherapy. So it might be interesting. I also do past life regressions. Those are some of my favorite sessions to do. And those are some of the more interesting ones, I think.
Are they hypnotized when you do this work on them?
Oh, yes. Yes. It's also a deep state of hypnosis.
Tell us about that. Okay, I would like to know.
So past life regressions are, those are 2-hour sessions. And they, I start with the same deep breathing and the same technique that I use to put a client into deep hypnosis. We do that. We start with that for past lives as well. Sometimes people have specific things like they want to use it therapeutically. like if there is a fear of drowning and it's an irrational fear and they've never had an incident in this life that would lead them to have a fear of drowning, or like one of my kids had he eventually got over it, but he had this fear of flying that when we moved from Florida to California, he would not, he was 10 years old at the time and absolutely would not get on a plane with the rest of us. I had to pay one of my best friends to take a train because my kid would not get on a plane and fly with us. And, but at the same time, he has no logical reason to have a fear of flying. He had never been in a plane accident. Like there was no logical reason why he would have this fear, but he did. And it was so strong, he would not get into a plane. So if somebody, and I've had clients who have fears like this and they want to go and find out what's the root of this. Like I have no, this was an irrational fear. It has no, I have no bearing for where it came from. And so in a case like that, they might want to go to a past life and see that they died in a plane accident or they were in a bad plane accident or they were a pilot and crashed or whatever the case may be. And as soon as they witness that experience in their mind, that fear tends to just disappear. And it's really interesting to me and really fascinating to me when people use past life therapy like that. My ex-husband used to always try to debunk all of this stuff and say, none of this stuff is real, the past life stuff. And I used to always say, you know, there's an author and a doctor that I love, Dr. Brian Weiss, who he is one of the leading people regarding past life regressions and past life regression therapy. He wrote a book in the 80s about a client that he had who, or a patient he had, who she came to him with all these fears. And one of her fears was a fear of drowning. And he was regressing her using hypnosis. He didn't even believe in past lives at this point. He was regressing her thinking, well, we're going to probably find out that, you know, you had a fear of drowning because when you were a young child, you almost drowned in a pool or something logical. Like he regressed her. She saw in a past life where she had drowned, I believe, with a baby in her arms. And as soon as she saw this, the fear went away. And so I used to tell my ex-husband, well, you know what? It doesn't matter to me whether it's an actual past life memory or if it's a confabulation in her mind. The fact is, as soon as she saw it, the fear went away. So it actually worked to cure her fear. And to me, that's the most fascinating part and really goes to show how powerful our mind is. So whether it's a real past life memory or whether it's just something your mind made up, if it removes the fear completely and now you don't have a fear of drowning and now you can go to pool parties with your friends, I think that's pretty important, pretty significant.
Well, yeah, I know that, but a lot. Hold on, Johnny, please. Can you just add yours after I add mine, please? Okay.
That's fine.
Totally. I get it 100%. But a lot of people don't have control over their mind. I feel like I do. In fact, since you told the story about the fear of flying, I personally wanted to know, how does that feel? Because, you know, I grew up flying. My dad was a bush pilot, and I became a flight attendant, and I have absolutely no fear of it. So I wanted to actually feel what those people felt. So during takeoff one time, I put it in my mind that all kinds of things like crashing and the sounds and, oh my gosh, in about 5-10 seconds, I was like perspiring, worried, shaking, like my heart was pounding, like I was going to die. So of course, yes, your brain is so powerful. But how do we tap into that besides you or, you know, a psychic or something? My question is to you. After you're done doing the hypnotherapy, do you teach people as well to get more in tune, to use what they naturally already have without spending money?
Yeah, you can teach people self-hypnosis and, you know, how to put themselves in that state. I also like to work with my clients on a mental diet And, you know, it's, I feel like a mental diet is so important. And so many of us don't practice that. It's like, you know, we know what a physical diet is, and we know, like, you know, what we should and shouldn't be eating to keep our bodies healthy. But what about what we should and shouldn't be thinking to keep our mind healthy? You know, a lot of us, like you said, don't have control over their mind. And that's the thing I think that we have to put into practice. I don't think it's something that comes naturally to a lot of people. We just kind of let our imagination run wild, and, you know, we kind of have to learn how to control that.
Now, I have a question.
But how do we learn?
Yeah, is there a way to do it to where we can past life regress ourselves, or do we have to have somebody else do it for us?
And the heck is that? Sorry to interrupt you guys. How can we past life regress ourselves? What in the heck is past life regress ourselves anyway? What is past life regression? I have no clue even what that is. And Johnny's so advanced, well, asking how we can do it ourselves. I don't even know what it is. What am I getting into here?
I'm trying to figure out how to answer that question. There are ways you can look at your present life, and there are clues in your everyday life about who you might have been or where you might have lived in a past life. You know, for example, I have an ex-boyfriend from high school, my high school sweetheart, who he always loved to collect samurai swords. Like, we would go to the thrift store, and he would always just, or not thrift store, I'm sorry, the swap meets and all of those places. And he would always just collect swords and Asian artifacts. Like, he was just all about that stuff. And so when you look at clues like that, then you can say, oh, okay. Or if you're really drawn to ancient Egyptian artifacts, then that tells you you might have lived a life in ancient Egypt. But that does not mean that you were necessarily a pharaoh or a high priest or anything like that. It just means you might have lived a life in that time period. So you can find clues based on...
Yeah. Now, I've actually seen people past life regress before. I took a parapsychology class, and it's... they tried to regress me, but I was a little distracted by what the guy was saying. I mean, I think what it is that I think the interpretation that I got from it is that it would be like putting someone in your chair that's 20 years old and then age regressing them 30 years. Am I right about that?
No.
Really?
Because we're not age regressing them. We're taking them to a whole different time period. You know, like, a lot of my clients don't come to me for the therapeutic element of past lives. A lot of times, there have been a couple, but a lot of times when people come to me for past lives, it's just out of curiosity. It's, I want to know who I was. And I always have to tell them, okay, but please understand, you were probably not somebody famous. You were probably not Abraham Lincoln. You were probably not Cleopatra, because that's the first thing that people think. Is, I had one client come to me and say, I'm going to be really upset if I find out that I wasn't an important history figure. And I looked at her and I said, well, then you're probably going to be pretty upset, because most people were not. And, you know, most people were probably peasants or serfs or just regular everyday people. And people don't like hearing that sometimes. But what it is basically is going back and seeing a lifetime that your soul might have lived in, you know, in Greece or in Rome or in ancient America. And you learn more about your soul and about who your soul is rather than who you are present day. But just more experiences of your soul, because a soul, what is a soul? A soul is energy, right? energy doesn't die, it just changes form. So, you know, and not everybody believes in past lives, but I do. I've read all of Brian Weiss's books, and he has enough evidence in his books that I'm convinced. And to answer your question about past life regressing yourself, I don't believe it's something you can do yourself unless you – the only way I think you could do that is if you were to buy one of Brian Weiss's books or any book that has a transcript with past life in it and record it using your iPhone or your Android phone and then play it back to yourself. But
that's what the hypnotherapist I went to told us to do, because what he said was they actually did studies that say that what you do is if you make your own tape and you talk into the tape or sort of like walk yourself, because that is true. I mean, you're not going to be aware of the moment that you fall asleep. So, you know, it's somebody, if a tape of you walking yourself through it, I think that would be the way to do it.
Right. I think that's the only way to do it. I used to do this stuff in high school because I started reading Brian Weiss books when I was 13 years old. And when I was in high school, he had put out a book that had a transcript in the back so that you could read it on someone or have someone read it on you. And I thought that was so cool that I said to my friends in high school, I was like, hey, would you humor me and just let me read this on you and let me try this? And every single person I asked that to was like, yes, you could do that on me. And it was fascinating because they would all come out of it and they'd be really excited to tell me their story. And I was really excited to hear it. And they would like recognize people from their present life. And it was just, it was fascinating. So I used to do this just for fun, for free, on my friends in high school, just from reading the transcript out of the back of one of Brian Weiss's books. And now I do it professionally, and it's one of my favorite types of sessions to do on people. Whenever I get a past life booking, I get all excited and do a little happy dance because I'm like, yes, that's going to be one of the more interesting, fun things to do. But it's, you know, like I said, you can use it therapeutically, and you can also just use it for fun and entertainment purposes of just out of curiosity. So it's interesting either way. And through hypnotherapy and past life regression therapy, I've seen results with clients that, you know, that prove to me the mind is so powerful. And if everybody could just learn how to really control their mind, I think we'd have a much happier state of humanity.
Mm-hmm. Are you there, Barbara?
Yes, I'm because I am thinking about what this past life regression is. And now my mind's wandering upon it because this is happening to me all the time. And I have this horrible fear. It's not really horrible fear, but it's always there about prison. Can you tell if I've been in prison before or if I'm going there in my future life? Forget about past lives. I'm worried about the future life.
Well, I mean, if you have a fear of something, then it could very likely, if it's not a fear that has any logical basis in this present life, then it could absolutely be related to a past life. And in past lives, you know, think about, they used to, you know, bull and accuse them of being witches for, you know, like knowing how to heal you with herbs and medicine, like plant medicine. That's enough to get you killed in certain centuries, you know? I mean, so
oh, yes,
people would
it
get
is.
Falsely accused and thrown in prison or fed to lions or, you know, burned at the stake for what?
Are you psychic
so,
as well?
Yeah.
Are you saying that this happened to me, do you think?
No, I'm not saying that this necessarily happened to you. I'm just saying, like, if you have a strong fear of it, then it's likely, and it might be something
yeah.
you want to explore, maybe during a past life regression.
Very.
Yeah, there's
I mean, with you in private, like
sure.
a session. Okay.
Yeah, you could absolutely book a session with me and we could explore this for sure.
Well, tell us right now how all the listeners could book a session with you. Or, Johnny, do you want to give her a shout out?
Why don't you go? I don't know. I mean, I have.
Where did you found her? I mean, why don't you give our guest a shout out? Where we could find her, book her?
Yeah, this is Jackie Blue, hypnotherapist. Now, I have here that you have a website called jackieblue.net. And I also have here that you have another.
So jackieblue.net is my general who I am website. But my hypnotherapy and coaching website is mindmagiccoach.com.
Okay. And also the other one, starseedpictures.net. What's that one?
And that's where you can watch my short films or my documentary films.
Oh, that's right.
I'd like to know about that whole thing.
I make movies.
The documentary. The documentary,
yeah,
because we went all in, it happened naturally. We went over everything you do, which is amazing, by the way, and the hypnotherapy. Yeah. And now let's hear about your documentaries.
Yeah, so when my ex-husband tried to kill me and I was lying in a pool of my blood, I thought, if I survive tonight, I am going to pursue my dreams before I die. And
But that's horrible that he tried to kill you. That is absolutely horrible that you went through that.
But you know what?
You had to deal with that.
When I look at how many women die at the hands of their partners, I am thankful that I am somebody who's got to live to pursue my dreams and to get to know my children. At the time, my children were between the ages of 2 and 7. And if I had died that night, they wouldn't know me at all. I wouldn't have been able to leave behind anything for them. So I look at it like, well, I survived, and I didn't survive just to, you know, sit there and feel sorry for myself and you know, cry about it. So literally within days, I was enrolled in a film program. And I started, before I left Florida, I had filmed all of my interviews for my first documentary, which is about childbirth. It's called Beautiful Birth. Because my last birth, I had a C-section. I had 2 hospital vaginal births after my C-section. And the second one was not so stellar. So I was like, you know what? I don't want to do this in the hospital again. And I found a midwife, and I had a beautiful, amazing water birth by candlelight with music. It was such a beautiful and spiritual experience. And I realized
that's
that
wonderful.
So many.
Yeah,
it was
Jackie. Because
it was incredible.
I don't mean to interrupt you again, but it's just wonderful that you were able to do that after the C-section, because some people say after a C-section, they never let you have it. A natural vaginal birth after that. So, and you had 2. Wow.
I had 2 in hospitals and then 1 out of a hospital. So I had 3. And then I'll be having another one in like 9 days or less. Or 9
yeah,
days.
That's right.
9-ish days.
Oh, wow. Great.
But yeah, it's, you know, water birth. After I had a water birth, I was like, you know, that was the most incredible experience. And that was my biggest baby. And it was my least painful birthing experience. And, I felt safe. I felt listened to. There was nothing that compared to that birthing experience that I thought, if I ever have another child, that's the only way I would do it. And of course, I never intended to have another child. That was 13 years ago. So this was a complete oops, but, you know, here we are. And I'm looking forward to another beautiful spiritual water birth experience. It really was incredible that I felt like I wanted to make a movie about another alternative to birth, because a lot of people didn't know. And I learned this when I released my film through all the emails I received and all the comments that I got from the screenings we did. people would come up to me and tell me, I had no idea that I had the option to give birth outside of the hospital. I didn't even know that was an option. So if you don't know you have options, you don't really have options, do you?
Right.
So
true.
So my film is all, it's educational and informational. My midwife that I had in Florida, who's now retired, and I wish that she wasn't retired, and I wish I could fly her out to California, and I wish that she could be the one here through my birth, but because she was like, she became a second mother to me during my last pregnancy. And when you have a midwife that you connect with, like on that level, it makes the whole experience a little more special, I think. So I wanted to make a movie that explains to people the differences that, you know, you can absolutely have a positive hospital experience. It's just, you have to fight a little harder for it. And, you know, hospital staff have a protocol. They have you on a clock. They want to do certain things that might not, you know, that might go against your wishes and might not be the best thing for you and the baby, but it's what's best for the hospital. So, you know, I wanted to empower women and their partners by just giving them information that they might not have had before. And so I released that film in...
Oh, do you think that you could have had your first baby without a C-section, or was that a must?
Well, my first were twins, and my water broke early. And I, at the time, so I was in my early 20s, and I didn't know a whole lot, and I trusted the doctors. And my older son, the one that was born first, he was head down, and the doctor said to me, well, you could give birth to baby A naturally, but because baby B is sideways, he was transverse and lying sideways across my my belly, he said, but baby B will probably have to be a C-section, and do you really want to put your body through both of that? And there's a chance that the baby B could die. And he used the death card on me at 21 years old. So I was like...
Well, of course.
Yeah,
but
I was like, well,
the baby's
okay,
gonna die.
Let's
You're not
going to
take that chance, right?
Of course. So
right?
I was like, well, okay,
exactly.
Let's just do the C-section and not put my body through double trauma. And
I get it.
But here's what really bothers me is that afterwards, after that experience, I have now met three OBGYNs who have told me, well, if I was your doctor, I would have cut you. I do twin births all the time vaginally. And there's two doctors out here in California, Dr. Stu and Dr. Shavira, who both will not do C-section unless it is absolutely life or death.
Exactly.
And
I had
a
twin pregnancy.
They
with
do
no
twins
C-section.
All the time.
Oh, and I had major, huge, I had 13 doctors around me because it was such a high-risk pregnancy, and I said, I want to have it through. I want to be natural. This is my only chance. I was not going to have more after. I mean, maybe I would have, but, I mean, it could be your only chance. I just wanted to have it naturally for the experience. And so
yeah.
I was able to, but, oh, my gosh. That must really upset you. That must really irk you that...
Oh, yeah.
I think that the schedule of the hospital was more important to your lifelong memory of giving birth the way you wanted.
Yeah, because, you know, having a C-section was really hard on my body. It was probably... The recovery of it was the most pain I've ever experienced in my life. I wasn't able to walk right for weeks. I was hunched over like a little old lady. I could not stand up straight. I felt like I was literally on fire. I would wake up as soon as the pain pills wore off. I would wake up screaming because it was horribly painful.
Well, yeah,
and my twins were crushing
the entire abdominal muscle to get it.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is not
yep.
okay. This and be, because now you have two little babies plus your other children at home to take care of. Feeling like that. Great.
Well, no, my twins were my first pregnancy, so I didn't have any other children at home at that time. But they were in the NICU, and they were in the newborn intensive care unit for 4 weeks. And I was so thankful that they were there, because there is no possible way that I would have been able to get in and out of bed and pick them up and take care of them. It just would not.
Right.
It would not have been possible for me at the time. So by the time they did come home, I was recovered enough where I could lift them, where I wasn't in excruciating pain. But, you know, my body didn't feel normal for at least a year, 2 years after that. Like, it was just such a weird thing that's why I was able, I was determined after that C-section to never have another C-section. I was determined to, okay, well, I'm going to avoid an epidural and I'm going to avoid Pitocin, because I know these are things that anything that could potentially lead to a C-section, I'm avoiding it. So whatever pain I have to go through.
I didn't know that could lead to it, Jackie. So the epidural could lead to a C-section?
Yeah, because an epidural, not all the time. A lot of people have epidurals and then they're fine. But an epidural can also slow down labor. And Pitocin, once you have the epidural and you're not feeling the contractions, they have to add more Pitocin. Pitocin is the artificial drug that they give you to progress labor in the hospital. And it's basically protocol. Like, once you go into the hospital, they're basically going to give you Pitocin unless you fight against it. So I had to tell them I refuse Pitocin and I don't want an epidural. So I had told my ex-husband, I mean, we were married at the time, but I told him, I said, no matter what I say in labor, no matter how painful it gets, I do not want an epidural. And I'm telling you this before I go into labor, so that if I start saying I want an epidural, you need to remind me why I don't. Because the epidural can slow down the labor, which means, because now you're relaxed, so it can slow things down. And then they have to add more Pitocin. And Pitocin has been known to squeeze babies into distress, because the contractions the Pitocin causes are so strong, and it's unnaturally strong, that that's when the baby's heart rate will start to drop, and that's when they'll say, okay, we need to do an emergency C-section right now.
Okay.
So
I had
done so much research when I was pregnant with my third son during my second pregnancy that I was like, nope, we're avoiding Pitocin, we're avoiding the epidural, because I don't want to even take the chance. Even if it's only a 1% chance, I'm not willing to take that 1% chance because my C-section was so horrible that I just wasn't willing to chance it. But then my second pregnancy, that birth was so beautiful, and it was in a hospital, and they gave me an amazing labor and delivery nurse who was all about natural. She was also a doula. So she was great when she saw my birth plan, and she's like, oh, you don't want this, this, and this? Great. I'm the person for you. And she was wonderful. And then it was my birth that followed that one, the second one, the second VBAC in the hospital, that was terrible, because that's the one where the nurses were fighting with me the whole time. This was not the same hospital, because we had moved at this point. And nurses were fighting with me when I said I didn't want Pitocin. And they made it very uncomfortable. It was, when you're already in labor and feeling really intense feelings, the last thing you need is people aggravating you. And these nurses were just so mean, and it put me on more edge. And so I was fighting with the nurses the whole time. And so after that, I was like, nope, I'm not doing that again. So when I got pregnant with my fifth son, I have five boys. So when I got pregnant with my fifth son, I I said to my mom and my husband, I said, I am not going back to the hospital. I am going to find a midwife. And then I did. And my midwife was amazing. And the whole experience inspired this movie. And I found other people who had, what I wanted to do is I wanted to interview moms who had had both, who had had a hospital experience and then an out-of-hospital experience so that we could hear their comparisons. I didn't talk about my stories in my film, but I wanted to have those comparisons.
Now,
and so I did.
When you make a film, how long is the preparing for?
It depends. My first film, I had pretty much known all the information. You know, my kid was two. My youngest kid, the one that I had that beautiful birth with, was two and a half when I went to film school. So I think he was like, you know, five when I released the film. But I had been researching all about the subject ever since I had my C-section with the twins. So there was a lot of years of research that went into what I put into this film. My second documentary, again, start to finish, I want to say was 5 years. And that was with me doing 90% of it on my own. And the second one addresses the suicide crisis, and it's called I Chose Life, Stories of Suicide and Survival. And I released that during the pandemic in 2020, in May of 2020. I released it during Mental Health Awareness Month. And it features Jared Padalecki, who starred in Supernatural. I don't know if you watched the show Supernatural, but he played Sam Winchester. And he is heavily featured throughout that documentary. It took years of putting it together, years of research, and then finding people to interview. And I did not have a whole team of people. I had me, and then I would have friends who, I had friends with cameras, and I would, you know, beg them to be a part of this and help me shoot the interviews. And I also, you know, edit. So I was able to edit as I was going along, and I had the vision in my mind of how I wanted the layout to be and the things I wanted to discuss throughout the film. But a documentary, you know, if you have a team of people working with you and you have a budget and you have money going into it, you could probably get a documentary done within a year. But when you're doing it all by yourself and you don't have a lot of money to pour into it, it can take, you know, it can take a good while. And that's what it was with me. But I was determined. And like I said before, you know, I get things done. So,
okay.
If
how much
I
money
commit
are
to doing
we talking?
Something, we're
going
to
give
do
us an idea of how much it would cost to do a well-done documentary?
Well, I like to think that mine are well done, even though I didn't have a lot of money. I had resources, and I had time, and I had skill. I mean, you can put a lot of money into something, and it still turns out like crap.
Yeah.
So,
true.
I can't really answer that. I don't know. The more, you know, when you have a big budget and you can afford to hire, you know, top-notch people to come in and edit it for you instead of you being the editor. Although I'm a pretty good editor, you know,
I
would love
the sound
to be able to hire.
Important. So you think the sound is quite important?
Sound is huge. Sound is a big deal. So when I had friends shoot the interviews with me, sound was always an issue. Like, okay, we need to get good sound. I don't care if the picture's crap because we can always get B-roll. Sound is a must.
Exactly.
Because
it's going to be there forever. And if
yeah.
people can't hear it, they're just going to turn it It's so true.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
true.
For sure. That's, you know, when I was making my first film, I shot all the interviews while I was finishing film school. So I had somebody recording the sound. We had top quality sound and lights and camera equipment because we borrowed it from the school.
Yeah. And just people want work. They want to explore and experiment and work on everybody's projects. I think it's wonderful. That must have been wonderful for you to experience going to film school and getting all that education.
Yeah, it really was. And it was at a time in my life when I was in a transition of who am I? What am I doing? You know, I'm not going to be this man's wife anymore. I'm still going to be these kids' mom. What do I want to leave behind as my legacy to my kids? And what do I want to do for the rest of my life? And I decided at that point, I want to make important films. I also made a couple of short films. And I would love to make some more, you know, I'd love to move into feature narratives. I currently have two documentary projects that a girlfriend and I just started at the tail end of 2021. We were both kind of sitting there like, well, we've got these ideas kicking around, and we made this outline for two projects, and we just jumped into it. We were like, you know what? Let's get it done. We've got X amount of time before I have a baby, and let's start shooting interviews. And so we did. And then after the baby's born and the Omicron rising stops rising and starts to go on the down, starts to fall. When Omicron starts falling, we'll go back out and shoot more interviews. Right now, we're just kind of taking a break because I don't want to put myself out there right now, especially so close to my due date.
I just wanted to know, thank you for coming on, and it was a lot of fun having you on. For those of you that want to get a hold of Jackie Blue, you can meet her at jackieblue.net and also magicmindcoach.com and starseedpictures.net. Okay.
It's mind magic okay. Coach.
All right, good. Now, thank you for coming on. Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
And
thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. And this show will be on YouTube in about an hour or so. Okay? Great. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you.
Good night.